Blog Talk Radio.
Be your crew chief Q. Feel free to join us in the shenanigans at 917-889-2053. Captain Kurt will be joining in a little while. Or email the show at speedwayanywhere@outlook.com. I check these emails regularly throughout the entire hour or hour and a half, whatever it might be. So the FIFA FIFO Fum Doldrums are done. But I'm sure that they'll keep inundating us with soccer news for the weeks to come. It's just past mid-season in auto racing. Some are in, some are out. Some are in, but it's getting to that point where some need to put it together and are in danger of sitting out their championship hopes. Put up or shut up time, if you ask me. I am thinking that a certain someone, a seven-time champion in the Cup Series, is in trouble. But more on that later. Let's take the green flag and put the hammer down. In the Cup Series, I think we're seeing what it's going to be for the final race at Miami Homestead. Last year's champ, Martin Truex Jr., he picked up his fourth win at Kentucky and only trails Kyle Busch and Kevin Harvick, who have five wins. Of course, Truex, you know, with four. Truex led 174 laps at Kentucky. Won Kentucky for the second straight year. He led 152 laps last year. He also led at the finish of stage one and two this year. Stage one was followed by none other than the big three drivers. Truex led it. Harvick took second. And Kyle Busch in third. If this is any telltale, then Harvick and Busch are going to have to beat Truex to take the championship at Miami. Who's going to be the fourth guy in the row? We'll see. Ryan Blaney of the Penske camp obviously has been a standout this year in his new ride in that number 12. Ryan took second at Kentucky. He may be the new Penske driver to win. Keselowski still has no wins. And Keselowski did, however, finish third at the end of Kentucky. Kyle Busch took fourth with championship contender Harvick in fifth. Crazy how it's always going that way. They're always back-to-back. Once again, it's another Stewart Haas teammate, Kurt Busch, right behind Harvick, who finished sixth, and last week's winner, Eric Jones, in seventh, with yet another Stewart Haas teammate, Eric Almirola, in eighth. Kyle Larson, he landed in ninth with screwing that up already. It's early in the show. Kyle Larson landed in ninth with Joey Logano in 10th. Logano, of course, has a win on the year. Kyle Larson, the top points driver for Chevy, still has no wins. Clint Bowyer finished right outside the top 10 in 12th, and this is why I'm giving the edge to Harvick for the championship. They're constantly performing in the top 10 as far as Stewart Haas teammates, running the top 10 in points, and now they've even swept a 1-2-3 with Bowyer, Harvick, and Kurt Busch. One could argue that a four-car team, the reason they dominate. The flip side of that coin is Kyle Busch, until recently, was the only winner of the four-car team at Gibbs. And he's been dominant. He's got the five wins on the season. But, of course, Denny Hamlin has yet to lock himself in with a victory, but is still comfortably inside the top 10 in points. On top of that, Jimmy Johnson has yet to win. He's part of a four-car team at Hendrick. I can only insinuate, but I think part of Jimmy's dominance in the past came from having resources from teammates like Jeff Gordon, Dale Jr., Casey Kane when he was competitive, but he no longer has that. Sure, Chase Elliott is a great driver, but is maybe limited in offering info mechanically in engineering. Alex Bowman, who took over the Dale Earnhardt Jr. ride in the 88. I'm not sure about that choice. And then William Byron, who technically, even though he drives the 24, he took over the old Casey Kane ride in the number 5 and changed the number. They don't have the experience. They're still rookies. They're still backmarkers. They're still, So Jimmy Johnson, he needs that. He needs teammates that he can feed off of. I think Jimmy Johnson would be extremely competitive if he was over at Gibbs with, Kyle Busch and Denny Hamlin. Still have the jury out on this recent win for, at Daytona as far as Eric Jones. So, but hey, Johnson currently ranks highest at Hendrick in 12th, but he's technically in 14th based on Eric Jones and Austin Dillon's wins, who sit behind him in points, but their wins lock him into the chase, therefore pushing 12th place standing back to past 13th to 14th. Chase Elliott, I believe, is knocking on the door of Jimmy's point standings. Also is another driver over there, Alex Bowman. All three Penske drivers, Logano, Keselowski, Blaney, are running in the top 10, but only Logano has locked himself in with a win. Kyle Larson is the only Chevy driver in the top 10 and has no wins. Once again, only Austin Dillon has won for Chevy at Daytona 500. He's 18th in points, but he is locked into the chase at this point. So it's Kyle, Kevin, Truex, Logano, and Kez in the top five. That's crazy. A lot of K's there. Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick, then Martin Truex, Joey Logano, and then Kez Olowski. Bowyer sits in sixth, keeps going in and out of that fifth spot position. He's got multiple wins. He's got two wins, actually, so he's locked for the chase. So there we go again. We got Harvick at the top for Stewart Haas Racing. Bowyer in sixth with multiple wins. And then Kurt Busch in seventh. And then Eric Almirola in the number 10, just teetering on that 10th place position in the top 10. That's not going to matter. He's doing the best that you could expect as far as drivers that are in or out or in or out of September's final 10 races that they will fall into. The rest could fall out of contention. Unlikely to. Except for, hey, Jimmy Johnson. Two more winners in the Cup division that will shovel him back. And he will have to put up a win to come out of that, or not come out, but come ahead of that 16th spot. Cup goes to Loudoun, New Hampshire. And the K&N Series will be opening up the weekend. Cup will race Sunday and then head out to Pocono Sunday the 29th. Usually I go with Xfinity coverage first, but the next race for the Truck Series is easily and honestly one of my top three favorite races. When you look at Eldora, it's the only major series that runs on dirt. Who knows who's going to show up? There could be some dirt race ringers. Scott Blomquist finished last, by the way, the first year they did it. And he was top of the rock as far as World of Outlaw late models or the Wasota series. But it is the only top series of NASCAR divisions on dirt. And it's exciting. And they do it in kind of a World of Outlaws format where you run the D main, the C main, the B main, and then the A main. You know, heat divisions after qualifying. It's also owned by Tony Stewart. It's his famous Eldora Speedway. He purchased and brought back dirt racing to where NASCAR came from. That will be July 18th on Fox Sports 1 at 8 p.m. Central, by the way. And there will be multiple qualifying rounds heading up to the main event. I believe also there some of the daytime events as far as the qualifying races and qualifying itself will be on FS2, Fox Sports 2. But back to Kentucky. Trying to cover the truck news and I'm way distracted. Ben Rhodes took the win at Kentucky. And Stuart Friesen, second. Matt Crafton picked up a top five, longtime champion of the series. Brandon Jones and John Hunter Nemechek rounded out the top five. This is one of those few occasions where Johnny Sauter just did not get it done. This is Ben Rhodes' first win and locked him into the Truck Series chase for the final 8-race showdown. Now, Matt Crafton, multiple champ, has yet to perform this year, but finally picked up that top five. Still no wins. On the other end, point leader Johnny Sauter struggled after a pit road penalty, and multi-winner Brett Moffitt finished 18th. There's a lot of interesting news about Brett Moffitt. The crazy news is Brett Moffitt, he's got 3 wins. He started every race. He's 3rd in points, but only has sponsorship through Pocono July 28th. I doubt he'll have much trouble getting funding to finish out the year in Miami. I mean, it'd be a damn shame. It really, really would. However, he will be on the dirt at Eldora this Wednesday. I'm going to take a quick little Gatorade break, and we'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Feel free to chime in, 917-889-2053. Or you can always email the show at SpeedwayAnywhere. Exactly how it sounds, exactly how it's spelled. SpeedwayAnywhere at Outlook.com. Xfinity Series, or the Busch Series, as I can't quite get rid of calling it. The series ran Friday night at Kentucky, and even though Christopher Bell only led 17 laps to Kyle Busch, who led 111, Bell led the laps that counted as he beat out Busch. And by the way, a Cup regular. Seems like every time there's any Cup driver in an Xfinity Series race, one of them gets the victory. Well, this is Bell's 2nd win this year, and he sits 4th in points, the highest in points with a victory. So he was already qualified for the chase. That's great news. It really is. Just not because he's locked into the chase, but the fact that he shut down Kyle Busch. That makes me happy. So, 2nd win this year, 4th in points. He's the highest in points that actually has a victory. Daniel Hemric finished 2nd in front of Busch, by the way. Hemric doesn't have a lock for, I don't believe he's got a win this year, but just to finish ahead of a Cup regular is awesome. Justin Allgaier used to be a Cup regular. He's got a win or two. He finished fourth, and Cole Custer rounded out the top five. First through six in points didn't change, but Sadler is now in a tie with Henrik for first. I was looking at this earlier, and the tiebreaker goes to Sadler based on stage wins and I think top tens. Cole Custer is only 3 points behind them in third. So this could all change next week again. These points have been shuffled. A couple races ago, Sadler was third. He moved back to first. And now he's tied for first. And it's getting interesting in the Xfinity series. It really is. But none of those top three between Henrik, Sadler, and Custer have a win to lock them in the chase. So Christopher Bell with a win, obviously, is fourth in points. Allgaier with wins is fifth. What I consider the shocking news of the week or last couple months, Spencer Gallagher. Spencer Gallagher got back into the field after failing a drug test. Not quite sure what substance, whatever. But, yeah, he's got a win this year, but he's not locked into the points. It was a win at Talladega. He tested positive for something after Talladega. So he's not locked in. He's currently sitting 17th in points. And obviously that stripped him of his playoff eligibility after he failed the test. I believe this is unprecedented. I've never heard of it before. You know, it's at NASCAR's discretion how they treat these situations. I hope they keep it consistent, because if Gallagher got stripped of a win, shouldn't he be stripped of the points too? But oh well. The Xfinity Series will run Saturday at Loudoun, New Hampshire, opening up for the Sunday Cup race. Where do I even start with Indy? Pretty cool things going on. Scott Dixon is running away this year in the IRL. Dixon took the win in Toronto and marked his third win on the year. He has a commanding lead over last year's champ, Joseph Newgarden. Or is it Joseph? I've always wondered. Simon Pagenaud finished second, and Robert Wickens took third at Toronto. Last week's winner at Iowa, James Hinchcliffe, seems to be riding the ship as he finished fourth, netting another top five. This is an interesting division. They're in negotiations with a lot of venues, and I'm not going to announce it quite yet. It'll only take a second. But like mentioned, Dixon is leading points with Newgarden in second, Alexander Rossi in third. Rossi was pretty dominant early in the year, but kind of fell off. Ryan Hunter-Reay is in fourth, and Will Power in fifth. That puts two Penske cars in second and fifth, and then bookends the two Andretti cars in between in third and fourth. But it's the Ganassi ride of Scott Dixon that's out front. So if you ask me, you know, with Dixon being so strong. And guys like Newgarden, Rossi, Hunter Ray, and Willpower that just constantly float in. They float out. They float in. They float out. It's what does Dixon and that Ganassi camp got going on? Here's a subject that I'm trying to cover with Captain Kurt. I think I'm going to save it. The Indy Series will take a week off and return for another road course race at Mid-Ohio later this month, Sunday, July 29th. There are some talks about, some rumblings, and the final news is going to come out tomorrow, according to Auto Week. So I'm going to skip the next liner notes until I get to hear from Kurt. And then we're going to go ahead to NHRA. The series took the weekend off and will return on their tic-tac-toe crisscross tour. As I mentioned in previous weeks, they're going to, their last race was up there in New Hampshire for the New England Nationals. And then they'll be crisscrossing down to Colorado after having the weekend off for the Mile High Nationals. It's near Denver. I forget the name of the city, but there is a dragway up there somewhere in the mountains. And it almost makes you wonder the difference on the intakes on those cars. And even when, you know, they're at sea level, or when they're 700 feet above sea level, or when they head out to Denver, how much that affects the intake on those cars as far as the way they breathe. So they'll be hitting the Mile High Nationals near Denver on the, I lost the date. And then heading out to Sonoma, you know, on the West Coast, and then they'll head up the West Coast to Washington, then taking a week off before, that's right, they come to what is basically my hometown track at Brainerd, Minnesota, BIR, August 16th through the 19th. Hopefully my plans all work out and I shall be there. Speaking of hometown, the ARCA series raced at Elko Speedway last Saturday. Gus Dean prevailed and well ahead of series point leaders. They're they had trouble. It wasn't a top performance for neither Sheldon Creed, the point leader, or Zane Smith. Zane Smith ended up finishing back in 12th. Sheldon Creed back in 15th. So Creed's actually the point leader. Zane Smith second. Riley Herbert was the only one to take a top five, and he finished 4th. He came in and out of Elko, 3rd in points, like just mentioned. Sheldon Creed still leads points, but finished back in 15th. And second in points, I got my notes wrong, is Zane Smith, who landed 12th, like mentioned. By most standards, this says that the best of the best even have trouble conquering what has been my home track since 1976. ARCA will return Saturday at Berlin Raceway in Michigan. I haven't seen the entry list yet. hopefully they put some of their stars back in the mix. It's it was disappointing, the fact that guys like Harrison Burton and Bobby Gearhart and Kimmel and all of them actually didn't appear at Elko. I was kind of hoping to see that happen. I am realizing it's time for a quick little sip of Gatorade, and we'll be right back. Now for the part that I was saving.
That's what she said.
What, corkscrew?
Didn't think of that.
So, save this for you. There are some talks about adding another race in California. This one being at none other than Laguna Seca. You know the old saying, can't have your cake and eat it too? Well, I think this can be the exception to that rule. Laguna is steeped in history, and I am willing to bet if the Cup Series wasn't already at Sonoma, they had probably had added a race at Laguna. I'm not positive, but I believe Laguna went away when the kart series gave in, right?
Have not heard anything going on there. So, yeah, haven't heard anything about Laguna for a while. So,
I could have done some deeper research on that, but I think when kart finally gave way and the drivers decided we can't succeed in a series without Indianapolis Motor Speedway, all those tracks just disappeared, because I know originally the IRL was all ovals.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yep, it was.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, that's changed over the years. So, according to Auto Week, Laguna is ready to ink the deal. The kicker is Sonoma might pull out of the Indy series, due to the fact that Laguna is so close in proximity to their market. I say do it. Give it a shot. I mean, the corkscrew, the history of it, hell, it might even work. But, and if it does, then why not have Sonoma in Laguna both host the NASCAR series?
That would be fun. Plus Laguna. Laguna's got long straightaways, too, besides those turns. I mean, there would be passing. There would be, oh, God, could you imagine seeing two cup cars passing each other in the corkscrew? Oh!
And can you imagine, oh, that would be, okay, Zanardi went a hell of a ride. I mean, through there, knowing he was going to destroy his car, but as long as he could get to that final turn to go down to the start-finish line, that's all he needed. I think there's a lot of NASCAR drivers that probably learned a lesson from that, and they'll try the same damn thing on the final lap. They'd be like, screw this corkscrew! And destroy their car as long as it goes fast enough to get down past the finish line.
You know, when Zanardi did that, though, I've always wondered if some of the parts manufacturers gave that team a call. parts okay, you know, and then yeah, and then it's kind of, well, let's you wanna get a little bigger pot of a sponsorship deal here and do some commercials for us about safety. You know, maybe we could tell the military or whoever, or just the drivers around the, you know, just motorists around the country, or possibly just people that just like the thrill of driving. Look what you could do with our shock or our shock absorbers. Look what you could do. You know
what I'm really wondering, though, is was there something in the front and rear wing that made it fly off that corkscrew like that? You know, it's like, if I was me or you, I would be, and we work for Boeing or, Airbus or something like that, I'd be like, how'd you get that kind of lift?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Huh. Like to see a funny car try that.
Oh, God.
The parachute would go out, and then they'd land.
All right, NHRA, the series took the weekend off and will return on their tic-tac-toe crisscross tour when they run this weekend at the Mile High Nationals near Denver. I believe I kind of covered that. ARCA, speaking of hometown, they raced at Elko. And apparently they're most professional drivers, by the way. Finished almost dead last. You know, their points leaders. There was only one driver. What's his butt? Yeah, Riley Herbert. He finished fourth. He went in there third in points and left there third in points. The Outlaws. They ran at Eldora last Friday, and of course the Truck Series will be running there on Wednesday for the primetime race. And on Friday was the, oh, what the heck do they call it? Donnie Schatz got his 275th World of Outlaws win. At the night before the Royals. And then Saturday night, Donnie Schatz started fourth. Took the lead lap on lap 15, never looked back, and then leading the rest of the way to win his 15th World of Outlaws Craftsman feature of 2018 and his third consecutive King's Royal at Eldora. Eldora is a big race, and I know that $50,000 doesn't sound like much to those guys. That's a hell of a purse.
Could you imagine them at Laguna?
with those wings? We were just talking about wings.
Yeah. I wonder how them things would be. I almost picture them, though, being so slow on a road course, though. I would almost think that they would have to be slow just to be able to compete whatsoever, though. I could be very, very wrong on that, but, you know, yeah.
A dirt road course.
I didn't even think about that, but yeah. Well, off-road racers do that, so I don't see why they wouldn't. It would be a real big challenge for them, and they could do it. They could do a dirt road course.
Well, I mean, they already have those types of series, but they're trucks. I mean,
oh yeah, yeah.
But
I
when you put it
World
in
of Outlaws,
when you put it in reverse, you look at the Robbie Gordon series, the Super Stadium trucks, who have put it over on pavement with big steel metal jumps when the trucks are built for dirt. It could happen. I mean,
you know, one thing though about that series, I think that the jumps are better on pavement though, because they can probably get more speed.
Oh, that's got to give you a headache. Oh, it's got to give you a massive freaking headache. I can't imagine those guys wake up feeling all that great. Ari Lyndon Jr., call him the Bachelor, call him whatever. And is that show almost over? Yeah, those guys got to hurt in the morning. I'm sorry.
Well, the Baja drivers, they've always said, though, that, yeah, your body does take a beating. I mean, you know, like your first stop, you literally can't get out of the truck. I mean, and plus, they're not on pavement either. Those guys are on pavement and definitely not going as far as the Baja drivers do, but...
Oh, no, it's like 10 laps on an IndyCar course.
Yeah.
I'm going to be cutting to a break here. Donnie Schatz obviously still leads the points after last weekend. Brad Sweet still in second. And David Gravel still in third. For those of you that can, there's been a GoFundMe page set up for Jason Johnson's family. Most of you remember that Jason Johnson passed away in an accident at Beaver Dam Speedway doing what he loves. The direct link is www.gofundme.com/JasonJohnsonForever41. Or if you go to the World of Outlaws site, which is WOO Sprint. So it's Woo Sprint. WOOSprint.com. And there is a link pretty much right at the beginning of the page. So even though he, you know, made some money over the years, he still worked a day job, and they do need the help. His young 5-year-old son and his wife. So just go to Sprint. Woo Sprint. World of Outlaws Sprint is what it really comes out to be. .com. We'll be right back. Mention World of Outlaws has far too many events to list, as they run probably about as big of a schedule as Major League Baseball. But they will be running this weekend, Friday, July 20th and 21st, at Williams Grove Speedway in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. Let's see, let's go local. Excitement in Minnesota. X Games kick off Thursday the 19th through the 22nd at U.S. Bank Stadium. Inside and out in the stadium area, honestly, you can catch free events outside. You'd have to go online. I can't cover their whole schedule. My God, it's like morning, noon, night. I kind of wish I was still in the hospital for a, you know, for a prime viewing of the plaza areas from bird's eye view. I mean, I want to like lick somebody's straw at a McDonald's just so I get sick. You know, that'd be a great that spot I had in the hospital last time. I would love that. Apparently, ESPN and the powers that be have signed on after last year's success of the X Games, and have inked deals for years to come. So maybe I can get sick a different day.
Oh God, maybe. Maybe ESPN will make them bring back Street Luge. Oh, I love Street Luge. I always wanted to do that when the X Games started. And you could find big enough hills around here to do it.
No, the only way you're going to figure that out is to... It would have to be 2 hours away up on the North Shore.
You could do it around the St. Croix. You know, you wouldn't get that kind of speed like they did in, you know, the first few of them, you know, out there on the West Coast. But there's some areas you can definitely at least look at it.
Oh, my God, I got a belly laugh going on. I'm just picturing, okay, 20, 30, 40 miles per hour, 50 miles per hour, and you're in the synchro.
Oh, yeah. Actually, around Taylor's Falls, that would be really cool. But then after they get down to the bottom, I don't think that they literally would stop, just because on how the hill immediately stops and you turn, then you're on the bridge, that intersection right there. But you would stop, And I think what could eventually happen is the fact that you wouldn't even break. You would just literally stop and then fly off the luge, though.
I'm just picturing the guys from ESPN. You look like you were doing great until that rock hit your head.
Oh. You know what area, and it would be a really, really small area you could do it in, though? I know for a fact at Minnehaha Falls, they're in the deer pen area. It's not long enough. Right there on what we, when we'd go sledding, what we called Devil's Elbow. You know, right there. But, of course, it doesn't go on long enough. And, of course, the width isn't there either.
I was actually thinking about hitting balls over on the St. Paul side.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That hill that Gumphrey went down and totally ripped his knee open when he tried to go down on a skateboard.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, let's make sure we fit this all in. The Twins. How to split coldest is the best way I can put it.
Well, I don't think that streak happened at a bad time. You still don't know. But I think that they, because of this recent little homestand, the only way I can put that is they had to do that to kind of stop the bleeding. We still got to give it some time. But I will say right now, the 3 out of 4 against Tampa, Tampa's a 500 team. They got the best team in the last series of the homestand. Tampa may only be 500, but they're 500, and look at Baltimore and Kansas City. So it's not a bad time to have it against. And, you know, they did win a series against a 500 team, so it's nice to see. And it's people aren't ripping them right now, and there's people going, I'm still not a believer, but the ripping has stopped. So maybe, as Tom Kelly used to just say, don't get too up, don't get too down, and maybe this is perfect proof of it.
Yeah, but it ain't got to be no fucking puffin.
It doesn't have to be no FIFA. Go on.
I dropped a lot of F words. But it didn't have to be no 19-6. That just, I mean, if you're going to take a loss, even wow, ouch. Not that we didn't slap him back with that walk-off grand slam, but okay, so here's what my notes said. Hottest but coldest is the best way I can put it. 1-8 road streak, and then 8-1 at home, and that was before the 9-2, obviously,
mm-hmm.
Which was actually their best winning home streak since 2006.
Yep.
They ended up in their worst loss since I don't know when on Saturday Tampa beat them down 19-6, but the Twins finished their final game of the homestand before the All-Star break, 9-2, with the biggie, you know.
Yep.
It's a good time that you got to hold on to, and that's all I can put it. The championship is a championship, but my old martial arts master, he always said, it doesn't matter where the top is. It's as long as you can see the next step.
Mm-hmm.
Twins are taking that step. You know, okay, back to the basics, you know, that kind of thing. And Mr. Miller, he was great at, you know, when you pissed yourself off or when somebody else was totally down, it's just like, look, are you eating? Are you breathing? Are you living? That's all that
matters.
Well,
the series against Tampa proved that when you have the runs, you're not always crappy. So, I've been waiting to say that all night long. Thank you. I'll be performing at the Laugh Gallery, now closed since 1993. But still show up there. You might see me performing to no one. Thank you.
You remember that episode? Oh, my God. I can't believe I'm going to go here, but we have like a half an hour to fill.
Yeah.
Kids in the Hall.
Mm-hmm.
When the guy was like not working, constantly going to strip clubs, and more, yeah, more. He was like a Beavis and Butthead. And
yeah.
Then he gets evicted. All of a sudden, they kick him out of his apartment. And then he had some homeless guy that would dance for him.
Oh, yeah. And,
yeah, more.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, before I forget, though, you mentioned Kids in the Hall. This has nothing to do with sports, but I only saw this one twice. That's why I always forget about it. Speaking of crappy, they actually had a sketch on there where it was a support group where guys are having a hard time holding their urine, and they have to. Oh, God, it's bad, but... I thought about that last week, but yeah.
Blog Talk Radio listeners, I apologize for the previous segment.
Hey, you could have like two or three listeners that go, somebody mentioned Kids in the Hall. Cool. You know.
All right, let's finish up the links part, and then we'll go wherever we go. I wish I was able to say that the Dynasty is still going on, but this is tough. But they, too, are rebuilding to a certain extent, and rebuilding is kind of like I just said with my martial arts instructor. You know, they're taking steps. They're going to have to figure out their new identity because the Dynasty, to me, is kind of gone, if you ask me.
Well, I hate to say that old saying, they make news when they lose, but tonight, you know Obadiah, that Jenna Shortall talks to from Channel 11?
Oh, yeah.
He was on there. He was on there tonight talking to her about the Lynx. They've lost three out of their last four. They're 12-10, and they're in eighth place. And, well, she starts asking him, well, what do you do? And he says, eat more protein and go on a good diet. And then she goes, well, what would you do to help Lindsey Whalen? And then Jenna Shortall goes, I'm a huge Lindsey Whalen fan. And she is going to retire, but you don't want your worst year to be your last year. And then he goes, I tell her, stop eating candy, stop watching TV, and practice. Stop watching TV. But I like that. Start eating more protein. That's great.
Not quite sure how that one, yeah. But, yeah.
So stop watching TV, people. That's how you get better. Listen to Blog Talk Radio.
I wonder if JJ's Clubhouse delivers. God, that sounds good right now. All right. So to finish it up, they have just lost two more in a row. And as far as my martial arts instructor, there's going to be some bigger steps that they're going to make something happen this year. But hey, the Lynx return to the hardwood Wednesday versus the Fever. And we'll see what happens from there. But yeah, they're going to have to make some great strides. All right. I'm already over an hour. But we can cut to final laps. I'm fine with that. You want to do stacks of three wide racing?
Sure.
All right. So we'll go straight to the stacks of three. I'm going to take these out of order just because I just kind of randomly threw them out there. All right. Tour de France, Tour de Soccer, or Tour de Corkscrew at Laguna Seca?
Laguna. Got to go with Laguna. I was rooting for Croatia yesterday, so I got to go with Laguna.
So there was the Tour de France in the bike series on NBC. And then there was the France team on Fox Sports Network.
Yep.
Isn't that crazy how that happened? Don't you think that the government of France paid off everyone so they could dominate NBC and Fox?
Oh, on the military channel, it was another video. It was more videos of France surrendering, too. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I like France. I've always wanted to go there.
Well, I like French kissing, but only if it's actual French. France.
I like French fries.
I like French kissing.
I like French kissing after French fries. No, thank you.
I forgot what my final five was last week. I said something about France or something like that, or the French. Oh, it was
Bill France.
Bill France, and then there was also the whole thing about Glen Fry and French Fry.
Yep.
All right. So Tour de France, Tour de Soccer, Tour the Corkscrew at Laguna. Got it. Four to go. So when you're playing the fuel mileage strategy, as Bush Jr. said.
Strategery. That's what he would say.
Strategery.
Yeah.
So when you're playing the fuel strategery, do you cross your fingers, use a calculator, or pray to whatever version of Jesus Ricky Bobby chooses at an Applebee's?
Ricky Bobby. Got to go with what Ricky Bobby does.
Oh, man. You know? That could be bad. What if he's like 5% Satanist?
Hey, you got to give a driver credit. He wants to be hurt so he can retire.
You know what? The blonde bimbo in the beginning of the movie?
Mm-hmm.
I think the cute, awkward chick at the end was actually a lot hotter.
Like, oh, I did too.
Especially when she wants to do it on an Applebee's table. Hey, three to go. Why do women get bathroom stalls indoors, yet us men have to deal with troughs and open-ended urinals?
The women thing, I don't know. The trusts were invented by some guy who wanted to make other men jealous. I heard that as a kid.
Or maybe it's completely opposite. Yeah, I heard Common say something about that earlier today. It's like, oh my God, the entire show. How much time we got? 24 minutes? Common was on an entire rant about, what do you call it? A he, a she, a Z, a blah, blah, blah. And they're talking about bathroom privilege. I was just like, oh my God, I am not calling you today.
Yeah. Him doing anything right. like that is different.
It was the entire show. Seriously.
Oh, really? Oh.
And of course, the phone lines got throttled.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I think I heard them coming out of a commercial break, and they were mentioning, that's the only part of the show I caught, but yeah, and it was just, he's talking about what? You know, and I didn't know it was the whole show.
All right, two to go. After all the product placement in Talladega Nights and the fact that Talladega doesn't have lights, how the hell is it night? Doesn't that make it false advertising for Applebee's?
I still say, though, they were at Applebee's at night. Maybe that has something to do with it. You know, I mean, maybe the whole punchline of the movie was, you know, maybe racing was the backdrop in the long run. It's about a guy with his family. I don't know.
Now, here's my argument.
Does the Indy Lights series have lights? Think about that.
And why does a Marlboro Light weigh the same as a Marlboro?
Good point. Good point.
All right, I'm going to switch to a serious note here. And that is that this is my white flag, my final lap flag. It was 25 years ago, July 13th, last Friday, that Davey Allison left us and joined the legends of racing in heaven. When you hear thunder, it just might be all the greats, like recently passed Jason Johnson, doing what they always love. And Victory Lane, obviously. Last Monday, we gave it to the 8 kids who made it out of the Thailand cave while there were still 5 remaining. Now we know all 13 made it to Victory Lane, along with the huge efforts of so many. To all of them, and we wave the checkers, and rest in peace to Salming Hunan, who passed away while spearheading the effort to place oxygen tanks so they can make the efforts. So, hey, thanks, Captain Kurt.
Could I get in one thing here real quick?
Of course.
Davey Allison, you know, another sad thing about that, just before, you know, we're talking 1993, would have been a great face at just that, just as that peak of the Cups, you know, getting so popular. You know, here you had, you know, the following year was the first Brickyard. You started to see the T-shirts for sale everywhere. Davey Allison was known before then. Just think of what it would have been like, though, the late 90s with him. He was still young enough, you know, when when that happened, you just got to wonder, you know, what that would have been like, you know, and then, you know, you got to throw in Jeff Gordon at that time, too. If I've always wondered, would there have been just a massive rivalry between Jeff Gordon and Davey?
Well, what's so crazy about that, too, is that, you know, everyone kind of sees that time as the Kowicki Allison and Bill Elliott. So you had, I'm not saying you had three generations, but you did have Bill Elliott as the oldest. You had Kowicki somewhere in between. And then you had Davey Allison. It's, you know, I don't know. That's a hard call. Davey Allison, I think he would have removed some championships from Jeff Gordon.
You just gotta, you know, and, ooh, it just that thought crosses my mind. And just even around, you know, around that time, too, you know, even before then with Alan Kowicki, you got to throw him in, you know. And Alan Kowicki would have been just that personality. I mean, nobody hated him. Nobody, you know, I mean, just Alan Kowicki, I just think, yeah, too. And Davey Allison, though, you look at him, look at Jeff Gordon. Though, I mean, at that time, you know, after Gordon gets his first victory, you know, 1994, and, you know, it's just, you know, you get that younger guy in there, just that's why I keep on thinking, though, ooh, him and Gordon would have probably had a big-time rivalry.
Well, look at how much they look like each other.
Exactly. Yep.
It's just, it's crazy. I mean, maybe when Jeff Gordon put on that stupid little freaking scruffy beard and that mustache, maybe he was trying to look different than Davey Allison because he realized how much he was looking like him. Yeah, that's so debatable.
Yeah, you know, and
Davey Allison, he didn't have that polypy throat sound to his voice, but everything else, him and Gordon were a lot similar in stature and looks.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yep. And, yeah, I just thought about that, and in some ways, I don't know why, I just think about just this weird thought. Maybe there's a little bit of a Twilight Zone thought there. Was Jeff Gordon, did suddenly he become the second coming of Davey Allison? Just for some reason, and, you know, and Jeff Gordon was racing at the same time, you know, Davey was, but there's just some thoughts of me, just, you know, yeah.
Well, when you look at Earnhardt, too, his championships had pretty much dried up shortly thereafter.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yep. And,
you know, he'd do it 2 years, and then somebody else would get it, and he'd get another for 2 years straight, and then that was it. As far as Kowicki in 92 and Davey had that Donnie Allison kind of vibe to him. He really did.
Yeah.
It was like checkers or wreckers.
Mm-hmm.
And sure as shit. Yeah. I mean, sure as S. It's a good thing the FCC doesn't monitor me. but, yeah, you look at as far as Donnie's Reckless Abandon, and then Davey's, and then the one sound clip. It's not even on video. It's not a even on VHS, nothing. And I don't know, son of a bitch wouldn't get out of my way, so the way I can get it done is to put his car into the wall, and instead I ended up in the wall, and oh, God damn it, at the end of the day, I ended up in the wall.
Well, just that huge, just how fast, especially the Cup drivers got, and I'll say right now, Jeff Gordon helped that. I mean, even if you didn't like him, you got to admit, and when I was working at a NASCAR video screen virtual racing place at the Mall of America, one dude just said, pretty boy in a pretty car. And I just said, yeah. But every once in a while, though, that comes into my mind, and I'm just thinking, Davey Allison at that time would have, the media, would have, there would have been women watching racing for the first time, and there were women that would have went after Davey.
Yeah, I think Davey would have held on to a little more of the gruff or redneck approach. Unlike Gordon comes from you imagine him on a ski slope and you're at the top of the freaking mountains of California, and then by the time you get down to the bottom, it's 75 degrees, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it would have been Madison Avenue versus the Ozarks. And I've thought about that, too. And and if Davey would have went on, people would still be talking about that rivalry today. Can I say something about the cave here? What I think is so cool, though, is just the fact that give them the checkered flag just because, they all work together. Good coach.
I already did.
I'm done.
I already did. I gave them the checkered flag.
I know, I'm saying that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Thought I'd bring him back out for a second. Haven't had him on for a while.
Justify, we haven't brought him up. When he hasn't commented.
That hurts my ears.
It hurt mine,
too. Can you imagine hearing that in the headphones? It's not like this, where it's nice and subtle. So, all right, we're going to clear the air. We're going to go to bumper music, and we already did final laps. And my butt needs to get a pizza in me or something. So, anyways, thank you.
Beam us out.
And I'm going to beam us out.
Okay.